Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We are counting down the seconds until you can place the first legal bets on sports right here in North Carolina. I'm Matt Tallhelm live in Raleigh. We will show you how Hurricanes fans and players are gearing up for the big day.
We're following breaking news. The man charged with killing his 20-year-old wife took to stand in his own defense. This is a live look right now. We're going to tell you what Eric Hernandez-Mendez says about some of the evidence presented against him.
And a royal apology over the release of an edited photo. Why Princess Kate is addressing the controversy.
And today is the day sports fans are able to legally place bets on sporting events in North Carolina. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chris Lovingood in for Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thank you for joining us. After months of buildup, mobile sports betting is about to go live right at noon. We are just seconds away. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm is live at Backyard Bistro across from PNC Arena in Raleigh, where they're celebrating today's launch. And Matt, it is right at noon.
It is. You can now place those legal bets. You know, some people may have been doing that before, but it is now legal. We are here at Backyard Bistro. This is the official Hurricanes bar. Of course, it's owned by the Canes. And I want to show you, you're not going to be able to escape mobile sports betting if you come out here. Even on the coasters here, they have all the information you need to know. You can, if I can get it to turn, there we go. You can even just scan a QR code. Fanatics is the big team partnership here. It's the official sports betting partner of the Canes. You see their name, their logo there. It's all over the bar here. And I don't know if we can find him here in the crowd, but the general manager of the Hurricanes, Don Waddell, actually just got here a few minutes ago. He is making the rounds here. He says he is so excited about this because this has been years in the making for them to make sports betting legal here. You're also going to see some Hurricanes players out here throughout the day, I'm told. Today's launch of legal sports betting in North Carolina, it comes just in time for the start of the college basketball championship season, of course. The ACC tournament starts tomorrow. There are 8 mobile sports books allowed to operate in the state right now. That includes Fanatics, FanDuel, and DraftKings. You've probably heard a lot of those names all over the ads bombarding you on TV and social media over the last few weeks. The first day of betting comes 9 months after Governor Roy Cooper signed the bill legalizing it. WRAL actually sat down with the governor leading up to today's big launch.
We know it's a big thing. It's a lot of money. It can create a ton of jobs. You can corral what's happening anyway and put some guardrails on it and use the benefit for the state taxpayers to draw in revenue. Example, you can
pick a range. The sports books will be taxed at 18% on the gross wagering revenue, and some of that money will go to youth and college sports programs across the state. $2 million is also set aside for gambling addiction and treatment programs. Now, right now you can only place bets through mobile apps or online. You can't do it in person at those sports books you see, the kiosks all over the place in other states. That's coming in the future, including here. The Hurricanes are expecting to do something similar to that, probably over at PNC Arena, is what Don Waddell just told me here. They had plans to do it here at the Backyard Bistro, but it's so expensive to renovate it to do all of that that may not be happening now. But you're going to see a big event out here today. Starting at 5 o'clock, the Hurricanes are actually hosting a launch party for all of this. Cam Ward will be here. You'll see players throughout the day here. They are really celebrating the launch of mobile sports betting, now legal for the first time here in North Carolina.
It is the start of a new era for sports fans here in our state. Matt Tallhelm, live in Raleigh. Sports betting is legal in North Carolina, but it was not an easy path. Brian Murphy from WRAL News and Tim Donnelly from 99 The Fan explore the history of sports betting in North Carolina. Listen to Season 3 of A Brief History of Triangle Sports, now available on all podcast apps.
Breaking news in the trial for a man charged with killing his wife of 5 days in their Raleigh apartment moved. 45 minutes ago, the defendant, Eric Hernandez-Mendez, took the stand in his own defense. And WRAL's Ken Smith has been listening to his testimony and joins us now live with an update.
Yeah, Chris, it's a rare move for a defense team to put a defendant on the stand, but it's happening in this case. We're going to give you a live look now at Eric Hernandez-Mendez, still testifying right now. He spent the first 20 minutes on the stand talking about his background, his family, where he was born, his age at the time he was arrested for this crime, and why he lost his qualification to enter the country legally when he was 10 years old. Now, in the minutes before we came on the air, his testimony focused on his relationship with Christina Matos, the woman he's accused of killing. The two were legally married 5 days before her death.
This was a sham marriage, so it wasn't anything like intimate. There was no intimacy going on between us. This was just an agreement that we had in order for her, because she wanted to be able to help me out, you know, so I can be able to apply for a green card.
Well, Hernandez-Mendez also testified that he was going to pay Matos $15,000 and had already given her $4,000 as a down payment. He's expected to be on the stand the rest of the day. Our Chelsea Donovan is in that courtroom. Look for her new reporting online at WREL.com, of course, WREL News app, and on our news starting at 4.
Chris. Chelsea taking very detailed notes. She'll have more of that. Thank you, Ken.
We now know the name of the man who was shot by a Halifax County deputy after a standoff. Less than an hour ago, he was identified as 62-year-old James Lee. Yesterday, around 2:40 in the afternoon, Scotland Neck Police requested assistance with the man who was reportedly making threats with a handgun. Deputies say when they arrived in the area of Graysonon Road near Highway 125, the man flashed a gun. Lee was shot by Lieutenant Jay Bozard and taken to the hospital. The FBI is investigating, which is standard. Two men accused of robbing two stores at gunpoint are due in court today. The robberies happened 10 minutes apart in Goldsboro. Wayne County Sheriff's deputies were able to find the car involved in this and arrest the driver and passenger. Jamario Weeks and Daniel Wiltshire are charged with robbery with a dangerous weapon.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, a sweet potato farm that is owned by the husband of State Senator Lisa Barnes faces a fine of $187,000 after the death of a worker there last year. Jose Arturo Gonzalez died last September after working in temperatures of about 90 degrees. His family says he lost his life due to dehydration and heat stress. The Department of Labor says that Barnes Farming violated several worker safety rules, including not providing worker breaks and not having access to any water. The company has 15 days to appeal this. We have reached out for comment. We have not heard back yet.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. A woman is recovering after her car was actually skidding off the road because of water that was on it. And this happened during a weekend storm in Apex. Authorities had to shut down the road to help the woman. And you can see that the silver car right here submerged in the water. And you can clearly see that shattered sunroof. Crews didn't say how the woman broke through the sunroof, but we do know that she managed to go home to her family. An American Airlines flight to Dallas had to return to RDU shortly after takeoff this morning because of a mechanical issue. The airline tells us that the plane's cargo door, the light anyway, was not functioning. Now, we're also told that the actual cargo door did not have an issue. However, out of an abundance of caution, the pilot decided to return to Raleigh. And we're told the pilot did not declare an emergency and it was a normal landing.
Another mid-flight incident involving a Boeing jet has left dozens injured in Australia. It's the latest safety issue involving the jet maker. Now federal officials say Boeing's cooperation in their ongoing investigations into earlier incidents is sluggish at best. Rebecca Castor reports on the latest issue.
From this 737 MAX rolling off the runway in Houston to a tire falling off a jet leaving San Francisco and smashing this car, the turbulence for Boeing continues. Monday morning, at least 50 people were injured on a Chilean Airlines Boeing jet flying from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand. Witnesses say it nosedived for a couple of seconds, slamming passengers into the ceiling. Several were taken to the hospital. The airline says a technical event caused the, quote, strong movement.
It's a time to ask ourselves, is there anything that we should be doing different, either as an airline or as an OEM or from a regulator's perspective, you know, from the FAA's perspective?
This latest incident comes as the air industry giant continues to face fallout after a door panel blew off mid-flight in January.
You don't have any words of assurance for customers who are too scared to fly on a Boeing plane?
We believe in our airplanes. We have confidence in the safety of our airplanes.
Boeing CEO expressing confidence after the Alaska Airlines incident. But now the company says it can't find documents related to the door plug opening and closing. The chair of the National Transportation Safety Board has accused Boeing of being uncooperative with the federal investigation.
Boeing needs to cooperate in every respect, and the FAA has given them 90 days to show a comprehensive plan on how they're going to turn their quality issues around.
Rebecca Kester reporting. It's not immediately clear what technical event caused the Chilean plane to nosedive.
Six people, including two children, are recovering from what police say was a crash that was a result of a chase. This happened in Raleigh. It began yesterday afternoon when Raleigh police say that they tried to stop a stolen car on Six Forks Road. Now, instead of stopping, the vehicle sped away, and that's when the chase started. And it ended in a crash on Wake Forest Road near Capitol Boulevard and that intersection there. A witness told WREL she saw the suspect speed past her while at a stoplight, speed through another red light further down, and eventually hit another car. That caused another crash, with two other cars going the opposite way.
A few of them had surrounded that car and immediately pretty much had their guns drawn, going around where that driver was. The driver tried to get out and start running, but with how the police had surrounded them, I think that person quickly realized that wasn't going to happen, so stopped and got on the ground, and then it looked like they apprehended that person.
The driver was taken into custody, and police say the stolen car was involved in a robbery earlier in the day. The six people injured in the crashes are expected to recover.
In just a few hours, people who live in Orange County near Hillsborough can expect to hear another round of loud booms. A contractor is blasting rocks to make room for the new Research Triangle Logistics Park. It started about an hour ago near I-40 and old NC-86. Traffic will be temporarily stopped on the I-40 overpass over old 86. Another blast will happen around 3 this afternoon. You can expect to hear the blast over the next 2 weeks. Next at noon, the Princess of Wales apologized because of a photo that major news outlets decided to pull from publication. We'll share what she says caused all the confusion.
Plus, a man says someone stole his bees, like more than a million bees. You'll hear directly from him about the moment he realized something was wrong.
And the DOJ is suing Meta, the owner of Facebook. A live report on what's expected during a town hall about this at Wake County Public Schools. Amy.
It's a beautiful start to the work week. We have sunshine on all of our cameras. It's going to be beautiful for the next few days, but we have some rain on the way for the upcoming weekend. I'll show you the timing with that with Futurecast coming up.
Keep watching WREL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Such a pretty view as we take a live look at Southern Pines. Look at all that blue sky. No doubt a lot of golfers will be hitting the green today. It'll be nice, 60 degrees, and then we'll get really warm later this week. You're watching WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Catherine, the Princess of Wales, is publicly apologizing after she edited a family photo that caused a brouhaha on social media. It was the first official photo of Kate since she had unspecified abdominal surgery in January. Several news agencies pulled the photo over its apparent manipulation. NBC's Molly Hunter explains Kate takes responsibility for experimenting with editing.
The British front pages today are certainly not what Kensington Palace wanted to see. Yesterday, across their social media platforms and all their channels, they posted what was meant to be a very sweet photo wishing this country Happy Mother's Day. It showed Kate, the Princess of Wales, seated with her three children. Well, very shortly after that was posted, eagle-eyed observers noticed that there seemed to be a little bit of manipulation, a little bit of inconsistency in some parts of the photo. Well, late last night, local time over on this side of the pond, major news photo agencies recalled the photos, saying that the photo did not meet their standards because of apparent manipulation. Well, then this morning, Kensington Palace posted another statement responding to the backlash, and I'm just going to read it for you. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. Signed C for Catherine, Princess of Wales. Now, yesterday, the photo was credited to Prince William. Today, Catherine now saying she edited it. So we have gone back to Kensington Palace to ask all of these questions. And what they still have not done is just release the original photograph. Molly Hunter, NBC News, Buckingham Palace.
The palace has faced mounting public pressure to share more information about the Princess of Wales in recent weeks, but it has taken a firm line on protecting her privacy about her health.
There's a beekeeper in Brunswick County who says that someone stole some of his colonies from his bee yard. Ken Edgar says that when he visited his bees, he noticed between 15 and 30 colonies were missing. Well, each colony holds anywhere from 60,000 to 100,000 bees. Edgar says he believes the thief stole more than a million bees. And he says a bee colony can sell for about $200 on the black market.
I said, where are my bees at? So I got out and this is what I found. They took the bees, the boxes, tops, bottom boards, everything, all in one shot.
Now, Edgar doesn't expect to get his bees back, but he is not giving up on his passion. He plans to build a new bee yard, stock it with at least 45 colonies, and make sure another thief cannot access it.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, former Trump White House aide Peter Navarro has been ordered to prison on March 19th. He'll begin a four-month sentence for refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena into the January 6th attack at the Capitol. He was convicted last year on two counts of contempt of Congress. His lawyers argued his sentence should be put on hold while he appeals, but the judge disagreed. Again, he will be reporting to prison March 19th. A successful test flight over the weekend could unlock the gateway to new hypersonic speed for traveling. An American aerospace company conducted a launch of a Talon A1 vehicle on Saturday. Company management says the flight reached supersonic speeds around 3,800 miles per hour. The company tested engine ignition, acceleration, sustained altitude climb, and a controlled water landing. Future Talon aircraft missions will be able to land on runways. Homeowners in Washington, D.C. are cleaning up debris from strong wind gusts. Those winds brought down trees onto homes and businesses. The worst isn't over. A wind advisory is in effect until 5 p.m. The high winds grounded some airport flights until 7 last night and prompted the National Park Service to close the Washington Monument because of all this. Meteorologists expect the forecast to turn around by midweek with highs in the 70. We will see that temperature turn around as well, but it has been windy as of late.
It has, and I was just looking online. Apparently in the D.C. area, they were looking at 50 miles per hour winds that were there. And I know we again had things windy here, but was it at 50 yesterday? Because it was pretty windy yesterday, Amy.
We did. We had some wind gusts approaching 50. We had numerous reports of gusts over 30 miles per hour yesterday, even over 35 miles per hour. So it was very windy around here yesterday. We didn't get really any damage reports, but it's still breezy out there today. We have wind gusts at 22 miles per hour out at RDU right now, gusts at 19 miles per hour in Goldsboro and 16 miles per hour in Southern Pines. Sustained winds are around 10 miles per hour. So still breezy out there today, but the winds are going to start to settle down late this evening and overnight tonight. It's beautiful despite the breeze. We have sunshine in Clinton, a gorgeous day out there. It is definitely still breezy and still chilly in Roxboro and Henderson, Roanoke Rapids. It's still in the upper 40s. We jumped into the low 50s in Raleigh and Durham, 53 degrees there, 51 in Siler City, 53 in Goldsboro. Down to the south, 54 degrees right now in Fayetteville, 53 in Clinton, and 53 in Irwin. Temperatures will be mild this afternoon, still breezy, 62 in Raleigh and Durham, and then 64 for the high temperature in Fayetteville. Outdoor practices today, the weather looks great, definitely no rain. Temperatures will cool a little bit this this evening. We'll be in the low 60s through 5 o'clock, and then we'll be back down to the mid-50s at 7 and low 50s at 8. And it is going to be chilly tonight. We'll drop down into the 30s, so you'll want the jacket or the coat tomorrow morning. 37 in Raleigh, 36 in Durham, and 38 for the low in Fayetteville. And then tomorrow should be a nice day. We'll have mostly sunny skies. It's even warmer, 71 in Durham and Raleigh, 72 for the high temperature in Fayetteville. Very quiet weather for the next several days. High pressure settles in from the west, and that keeps us nice and quiet. A lot of sunshine in the days ahead. Our rain chances don't go up until the end of the week. We have a 40% chance for some rain, maybe an isolated storm on Friday, just a slim chance for a shower Saturday, and a 40% chance for some scattered showers on Sunday. So let's talk about the timing a little bit. Friday, the first half of the day looks dry. It's late in the day, likely during the evening when we start to see some of those scattered showers, maybe an isolated storm. Saturday, we'll have partly sunny skies. Right now, it's looking fairly dry. We'll let you know if that changes. But Sunday, we'll have another disturbance arrive in the morning, and we'll have some light rain, some showers certainly possible on and off on Sunday, but it's not a washout of a weekend, which is good news. 62 today, and then look at the temperatures warming up. We'll be in the mid-70s Wednesday, upper 70s to near 80 on Thursday, and then a little bit unsettled by Friday, the second half of the day. Saturday looks good. The St. Patrick's Day parade is Saturday. I'll show you that forecast coming up, but St. Patrick's Day itself looks like we could be dodging a few showers.
All right, thanks, Amy.
A Durham man is in jail accused of killing two people in the span of 3 days. What we know about the shootings and what led to the suspect's arrest in Mecklenburg County. That's coming up at 5:30.
Then at 6 o'clock, Raleigh homes damaged by nearby blasting. Why neighbors told Five on Your Side they feel like there is no control over this potentially dangerous practice.
A children's product company is recalling its baby swings due to a suffocation risk. The Juul Baby Nova infant swing has an incline greater than 10 degrees, which violates federal safety regulations. The recalled swings were made in June 2022 to September of 23 and were sold online and at Walmart. There have been no injuries or deaths reported with these. Families, though, should stop using these infant swings and contact Juul Baby for a free repair kit. The wealth disparity among racial groups grew during the pandemic. The New York Federal Reserve says the net worth for white people outgrew that of black people by 30%. It outgrew that of Hispanics by 9%. Another Fed survey says about 65% of whites had stock investments compared to about 28% for Hispanics. And more than half of black wealth is heavily in pensions.
It's the talk of the sports world. Russell Wilson will be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The former NC State quarterback announced it on the X platform last night on social media. He shared a clip with the team's iconic rally song, Renegade. The Denver Broncos will release Wilson on Wednesday, and then he'll sign in Pittsburgh. Presumably, he'll sign a one-year deal for the league minimum of $1.21 million. The Broncos will owe Wilson $38 million for the coming season. And the Chicago Bears are moving forward with a plan to build a domed stadium. The team confirmed it is investing private money to build the publicly owned stadium on the lakefront. This is a huge shift from the Bears' plan to build a new stadium in suburban Arlington Heights on the land that the team now owns. But this change would allow the city to keep the stadium in Chicago to possibly host future Super Bowls and college basketball tournaments like the Final Four.
More than $1 billion are up for grabs from two big lottery drawings. No one matched all six Powerball numbers during Saturday's drawing. The Powerball jackpot climbs to an estimated $532 million for tonight's drawing. That's at 11 p.m. And the Mega Millions jackpot is all the way up to $735 million. That drawing is tomorrow night at 11. As always, you can watch both drawings live here on WREL.
Mobile sports betting is now live in North Carolina. We are going to look back at how we even got here and the process of getting it legalized in the state.
And today, Wake County students and families joined the Department of Justice to discuss something they are very familiar with, social media and the dangers that come with it. After the break, the efforts to protect people that start on the local level. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It's the day sports fans have been waiting for. Mobile sports gambling is now legal in our state. At the top of the hour, Matt Tallhelm brought us a live report from the Backyard Bistro across from PNC Arena in Raleigh, and they're celebrating today's launch with Fanatics, the team's official sports betting partner. Now, within the last half hour, bettors in North Carolina are now allowed to make legal wagers on their electronic devices. 8 operators are now live in the state. And WREL Sports investigative reporter Brian Murphy now joins us live for more on this. I mean, I've even just kind of look at some of the pages that are on there. They're all saying, North Carolina, we're ready to start betting. So what's it looking like right now in terms of the process, Brian?
Yeah, if you look at your phone, all the apps are there. They're all working just in time for the ACC tournament, the NCAA tournament, and a potential Hurricane Stanley Cup run. Sports betting is live. I spoke with the CFO of BetMGM. He expects North Carolina to be a big bet for them. Mentioned the fact that we have, you know, college sports teams that may go far in the tournament. The fact that North Carolina may be the only state that launches in 2024.
Well, and the thing with this, it's not just, you know, oh, we're going to get some sports gambling tax dollars. That money will actually be kind of spread around, not just to the state, but also through, the, I believe, the university system as well.
Right. 13 universities are going to get money from this. They're all the UNC system schools, not including NC State and North Carolina. Also, there'll be money for youth sports. There'll be money to bring a Super Bowl or an NCAA tournament or other big events to North Carolina as well.
And lastly, you know, this money also, I believe, is going to be going toward also helping with gambling addiction. You know, obviously, you have all these commercials and people are getting interested in gambling, but the state also wants to ensure that people who might get addicted, they're getting the help that they need.
Yeah, that's a big thing. You know, critics of this were very worried about the impact that it would have on North Carolinians who might get addicted. There's $2 million for addiction treatment and education programs.
Okay, and give us a little preview of what you're going to have later on WREL.
Sure, this was not an easy process. The Supreme Court didn't approve this until 2018, and this 6-year process for North Carolina has been a lengthy one. We'll talk about that entire process later this evening.
All right, there's so much to cover with sports gambling. Again, it is live now in North Carolina. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
And season 3 of A Brief History of Triangle Sports traces the story of how widespread sports betting even became legal in North Carolina. The podcast is based on Brian's extensive reporting for WREL News and contains new interviews of the major players in the legalization effort, as well as fresh reporting and historical perspective.
Wake County Public Schools held a social media town hall this morning at Athens Drive Magnet High School in Raleigh. The state DOJ is talking about the impact on children and their mental health. WRL's Shelley Jackson joins us live from there. And Shelley, this town hall drew quite a turnout.
Renee, more than 150 people, parents, teachers, students, law enforcement, attended today's town hall on social media and especially its impact on mental health. Now, one Wake County board, a school board member, said social media algorithms are an attack on our children. Social media has been linked to eating disorders, drug use, bullying, even self-harm. It's become a huge issue in schools. Today was a chance for all stakeholders to share concerns and ideas, including banning phones in schools. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein was also here.
It's not about taking social media away from young people because they use it. It's about having limitations put on by the social media companies to better protect kids. And that's one reason why I have sued Instagram and why I am investigating TikTok.
Now, Stein is one of dozens of attorney generals suing social media companies for using deceptive practices, ensnaring kids, and lying about the safety of their platforms. Renee?
Shelley Jackson, live at Athens Drive High School in Raleigh. Thanks, Shelley.
I want you to think about something really quick. Guns kill more young people in the United States than any other cause. The statistics are even worse in North Carolina, where kids are 51% more likely to die from gun violence compared to other states. Our latest WREL doc, Unsafe North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, shows the devastating impact of gun violence through one family's tragic loss. 8-year-old Genesis Dockery died 4 days before her 9th birthday. Her family said that she was shot by her babysitter's 11-year-old son.
Genesis Dockery is a reason that safe gun ownership is required, because irresponsible gun ownership leads to events like this.
Unsafe will also explore a proven solution to stopping these kinds of tragedies with bipartisan support among lawmakers. You can watch our documentary, Unsafe North Carolina Kids Dying from Gun Violence, on Wednesday night at 7:30 on WREL or WREL.com.
The town of Gardner hopes to build a better relationship between officers and the community through its Citizen Police Academy. The six-week course teaches residents how the police department works. Participants will take part in hands-on exercises to understand the jobs and functions of their local police officers. There will also be an opportunity for feedback. The academy will end with a graduation ceremony on June 11th. You'll have another chance to give your feedback about Raleigh's new public safety network, Connect Raleigh. The program uses technology to access home and business camera video to help solve crimes. It's completely voluntary, and RPD will need to get consent before accessing the footage from registered cameras. Raleigh police are hosting a feedback session about the program tonight. It's at 6:30 p.m. at John Chavis Memorial Park over on MLK Jr. Boulevard.
Happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, President Biden has released his annual budget today. It includes proposals to lower costs for families, strengthen Social Security and Medicare, and also reduce the deficit. It also proposed a minimum 25% tax on billionaires. The White House says these provisions could cut the deficit by around $3 trillion over 10 years and also cut taxes for many middle and low-income Americans. But many of these proposals are expected to face strong opposition in Congress.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. All week, we will share exclusive results from the latest WRAL News poll. Today's results will be focused on two big races, North Carolina governor and president. With the primary behind us and the general election matchup set, we asked voters how they're feeling about the candidates and who will get their votes. We'll share results of the polls starting at 4 o'clock today. The buy now, pay later approach. It isn't just for indulgence items. The demographic using this payment plan to buy groceries.
Plus, Scarlett Johansson parodies Senator Katie Britt on SNL. How the actress spoofed the human trafficking story that the senator claimed happened during Biden's presidency. If you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click Report It in the WRAL News app.
Gas prices are going up. AAA says the national average for a gallon of regular gas climbed to $3.40 a gallon. That's a four-month high. North Carolina's average is about $3.20 a gallon. Experts say there is no reason to panic about gas prices, at least not yet. Prices always jump this time of year as the demand for fuel goes up. It also means the end of cheap winter fuel and the switch to more expensive summer fuel blends. That process is just getting started in most states, but you can find the cheapest gas in your area. Just go to WRAL.com and search the word fuel tracker.
More restaurants could soon start testing out surge pricing. It comes just a few weeks after fast food chain Wendy's said it would roll out surge pricing by 2025. The model means customers may see menu prices change daily based on demand. Some small business owners say variable pricing has helped to maximize prices for their menu items. Wendy's says it won't raise prices at its busiest times, but it could help to offer discounts at slower hours.
Buy now, pay later is causing younger consumers to turn one direction just to keep up. Several reports say that younger generations are using the option more often just to keep up on life essentials. New data shows consumers 35 and under are well over half of the buy now, pay later users. Many of them use the payment option for everyday items like groceries, clothing, travel, and home needs. One Adobe report says that groceries for all buy now, pay later users has jumped 40%.
The Body Shop has shut down all of its U.S.-based operations, and it will close dozens of Canadian store locations as it files for bankruptcy. The cosmetics company was founded by human rights activist Anita Roddick. It was one of the first cosmetic companies to prohibit animal testing on products.
If they can poke fun at it, Saturday Night Live definitely will do so.
Thank you. All right. I just pounded a Celsius. Let's do this.
Actress Scarlett Johansson made a surprise cameo appearance and delivered a mock rebuttal from a kitchen like Alabama Senator Katie Britt did last week.
And if you're looking to score a hot and fresh treat for free, Saturday could be your lucky day. The special deal Krispy Kreme is offering to loyal customers.
SNL never runs from an opportunity to poke fun at politicians, and this weekend was no different. Whether it's Tina Fey playing Sarah Palin, Dana Carvey portraying George H.W. Bush, or most recently Michael Day as President Joe Biden, the actors are never at a loss for material. It was obvious that the show would highlight President Biden's address, And the segment didn't disappoint for a lot of people.
Tonight, I'm gonna cover a lot. There's gonna be a lot of applause. So Kamala, I hope you didn't skip leg day, girl. You're gonna be up and down all night. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Woo!
Woo! Actor Mikey Day was later booed by Heidi Gardner, portrayed by Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who heckled Biden during his address Thursday night. During the actual response on Thursday, Senator Katie Britt shared a story about a human trafficking victim, implying it happened under President Biden's tenure.
Rest assured, every detail about it is real, except the year, where it took place, and who was president when it happened.
You already know who that is. Scarlett Johansson portraying Senator Britt in a mock rebuttal from a kitchen. After Thursday's address and rebuttal, a journalist researched Britt's claims and noted the trafficking did not happen during Biden's presidency in the U.S. In fact, it happened during the administration of President George W. Bush in Mexico.
Now to Hollywood's biggest night. The summer blockbuster Oppenheimer snatched 7 Oscars, including Best Picture and Best Director for Christopher Nolan. But it was the show before the show that everyone is talking about. Lily Gladstone, who was nominated as Best Actress for her turn in Killers of the Flower Moon, paid tribute to Native American design with her dress. She wore a blue velvet Gucci gown created in collaboration with indigenous artist Joe Big Mountain. Other big looks included Sterling K. Brown in a classic black tuxedo, Dano Brooks with a sleeveless sheath with a daring split, and Zendaya, who never disappoints with a blue and pink Grecian look. Of course. Stars on the Oscars red carpet wore pins calling for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Billie Eilish, Riz Ahmed, and Ava DuVernay are stepped onto the red carpet in matching red lapel pins. They feature an outline of a hand around a black heart, and it symbolizes support for ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. In a statement, Artists for Ceasefire said the pin symbolizes collective support for an immediate and permanent ceasefire, the release of all of the hostages, and the urgent delivery of humanitarian aid to civilians in Gaza. We have beautiful weather out there to kick off our Monday as people try to recover from the change in time. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth in the WRL Severe Weather Center. This is weather that says, go on, get outside.
Absolutely. Beautiful today. A little on the cool side, but temperatures will continue to warm up as we progress through the work week. We're sitting at 53 degrees right now at RDU with sunshine, sunset at 7:20 this evening. It's really pretty outside, but again, staying on the cool side, 50 degrees in Roxboro. So you're out of the 40s now, 53 in Durham, 52 in Goldsboro. It's 54 degrees right now in Fayetteville. Steady winds anywhere from about 6 to 11 miles per hour, but we do have some higher gusts at times, gusting to 22 miles per hour around the Triangle, 18 mile per hour gusts in Fayetteville, Clinton, and Goldsboro. So another breezy day, but not as windy as it was yesterday. So beautiful weather today, a lot of sunshine, nice and mild, temperatures near normal, 62 for the high in Raleigh and Durham, 64 for the high in Fayetteville. For the evening commute, the weather looks good. We'll have sunshine, low 60s at 5, 59 at 6 p.m., down to 55 at 7 o'clock. Overnight tonight, we're going to get down to 37, so it's a little chilly tonight, but notice how our morning lows get warmer and warmer, and by Saturday, our low temperatures will be in the lower 60s. So one more kind of chilly morning, and then we'll start to have some milder mornings, especially by the end of the week. Same thing with the afternoons. We'll have warmer temperatures by the end of the week. The normal high is 61. We get to 62 today, so pretty close to normal, and then 71 Tuesday, 74 Wednesday, and near 80 for both Thursday and Friday. So certainly trending warmer for the end of the week. And then we're going to go back to below normal for next week. So this is March 19th through the 25th. Looks like a below normal temperature pattern will be with us, and slightly above normal rainfall as well. For most of this week, we're going to stay dry, but our rain chances do go up for the weekend. So Friday, we'll have some scattered showers as a weak cold front arrives. So late day showers, maybe an isolated storm. Saturday looks pretty dry at this point. It certainly looks like the driest day of the weekend. We'll still have some clouds around. We'll be in between cold fronts on Saturday. So Saturday, fairly quiet. But then Sunday, another cold front approaches. Scattered showers will be possible as we wrap up the weekend. The good news for Saturday for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, it starts at 10 a.m. in downtown Raleigh. Jeff Hogan is actually the host for that. Partly sunny, 64, mild and breezy for the parade. It should stay dry. We only have a 20% chance for rain on Saturday at this point. Overall, really nice weather for the work week. Again, warming up for the end of the week and then turning unsettled. Some showers, maybe an isolated storm late Friday, mainly dry Saturday, and a few showers for St. Patrick's Day on Sunday.
All right, thanks, Amy. At first glance, you'd think these crowds are lining up for sales on the day after Thanksgiving or maybe even getting some Jordans. Nope, not the case. The latest craze that's fueling product sellouts. We'll show you.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Mobile sports gambling is live in North Carolina. The state now joins more than 30 U.S. states where sports betting is already legal. Today's launch comes just in time for the start of the college basketball championship season. The ACC tournament starts tomorrow. There are 8 mobile sports books allowed to operate in the state, at least for now, including Fanatics, FanDuel, and DraftKings.
The man charged with killing his wife of 5 days, an NC State student, is now on the stand in his own defense. This is a live look at the trial happening right now. Eric Hernandez-Mendez spent the first 20 minutes detailing his background. He then focused on his relationship with Christina Matos, calling their marriage a sham. Hernandez also testified that he was going to pay Matos $15,000. He is still on the stand right now and expected to be on the stand the rest of the day.
More than $1 billion are up for grabs from 2 big lottery drawings. No one matched all 6 Powerball numbers during Saturday's drawing. The Powerball jackpot climbs to an estimated $532 million for tonight's drawing at 11 p.m. And the Mega Millions jackpot is up to $735 million. That drawing is tomorrow night at 11 on WREL.
As Chris mentioned earlier, the ACC men's basketball tournament gets started tomorrow in Washington, D.C. Teams from Tobacco Road are the top 2 seeds. UNC, the top seed in the tournament. It clinched the regular season title with a win in the Battle of the Blues on Saturday. Duke is the tournament's number 2 seed. Both the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils have double byes in the tournament. That means they won't play their first games until the quarterfinals on Thursday. NC State is the 10th seed. The Wolfpack will play tomorrow afternoon against Louisville. The hottest bag on the market isn't by Brahmin, Louis Vuitton, or Gucci. It's from a grocery food chain. We're talking about these mini tote bags sold at Trader Joe's for $2.99. They're being resold on eBay for as much as $500. Social media videos show customers lining up for the totes to be restocked and swarming to get their hands on one. Some stores are reportedly putting a limit on the number people can buy at one time.
Oh, wow. $2.99 for all of that. Big fuss. Krispy Kreme is offering free donuts for St. Patrick's Day. The chain is introducing 4 new varieties and bringing back the popular original glazed donut in honor of the holiday. You can see right here on your screen what you can look forward to. You can get them starting today, and for a limited time, they'll be at participating stores. And if you wear green while visiting a Krispy Kreme in store or via the drive-thru this coming weekend, you can get 1 free original glazed donut.
Our pets of the day come to us from Love Mutts Rescue. Percy, Skye, Presley, and Peyton have been in foster homes since 8 weeks of age. They are now 14 to 16 weeks old. Right now, they're 18 to 25 pounds, but they have some Labrador, Border Collie, and Australian Shepherd in them, so they'll probably be at least 50 pounds when grown. Their crate is their safe space, so they go in for naps or they might be found curled up with the big dog.
Aww.
Visit lovemuttsrescue.org to meet them. And there's even a $50 discount if you mention WRAL.
Oh, see, now I want to go home and play with my dog.
NBC News Daily is next on WRAL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Hope you have a great day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.